Blog Talk Radio.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why can't my dream come true? Oh, why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why won't that sun appear?
Hello. It's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story. I actually don't know if I should say Marcia Casper Cook or Madison Montgomery. I had an identity crisis this week, so if anybody's looking at some of my blogs, I have half that I'm Madison, half that I'm Marcia, so I'll straighten this out this week. I'm not sure exactly who these days. And but I do know one thing. We have Boku authors here today, and I also, first of all, I have to say hello to Bethany. She's not really going to talk today because she's having a little, but Bethany Cross is here. Thank God. When I saw her online, I went, oh my God, I'm so happy to see her. So she hasn't been here. Are you doing good? Are you good? All right, good. Thank God. I must have done something right, or God must have felt sorry for me this week and said, she's coming to help you. But anyway, I'm so glad you're here. Okay, the chat room is open if people want to chat, and that's about it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the shows we're having so I don't forget to do this. All right, Thursday's Fran Lewis's show, and she's on at 4 Eastern, and she has special guest Tess Garrison, and she's great. Tess is the author, the characters, Rizzoli and Isles from TNT series, those are Tessa's characters. She's great. And she'll be on at 4 Eastern. And then Virginia Grenier and Irene Roth are doing a Family Matters show. And I just heard a click here. Oh, no, I thought, okay. Family Matters show, and it's about empowering teens, and that is on at, I think it was 3 Central. So you can always find at World of Inc. what we're doing and Michigan Avenue Media. And so we try to put a lot of things on Facebook and everywhere because we don't know where everybody's coming from, but we have a lot of people coming, and so our links are on demand right after the show. So these are live shows, and then right after that you can listen. And sometimes the chat room doesn't work or you can't hear, so right afterwards, because I have listened to other shows, and sometimes I can't get in the chat room or hear it. So then as soon as the shows are over, it seems to be fine. So, and we have two authors here, and let's see. Oh, before I forget, let's see what I didn't forget anything. Oh, yes. Okay, my children's book came out yesterday, The Busy Bus, and it's an updated version, and it's with Boku, and the drawings are now updated, and they're much more digitally colored. They look great now, and the covers really bright and cheerful. It's been several years, and they worked hard to get some new pictures, and they look really good. But the poems are, you know, basically the same, but they're so, and it's really a cute book, so, and kids are loving it. So that's a good thing. And on the other end, which I will mention, that Virginia Templeton Stories will be just Virginia Templeton Stories, and I have, after thinking about the stories that I did and the books, I just made them Virginia Templeton Stories, so there will be one book, but Amazon doesn't take things off. And this is, actually, I did talk to Amazon this week, and one of the things they asked me to say was, because we were talking, and most people don't realize, if you update a book or change a book or change the cover, the name, whatever you do, it stays on Amazon. And even if it's unavailable, it's still there. So if you should see books, which you'll probably on my Marcia Casper Cook, there's a lot of, like my book, like Love Changes, has a couple different revisions. And so that's what happens. They don't take it off. So my suggestion is, as everybody knows, that Bethany knows this for sure, I change a lot. So the problem is all my changes have cost me in the fact that it looks a little confusing. So we're working it out, and all the four children's books will be updated and new at Boku, and the Virginia Templeton stories will be just one e-book and one paperback. And my To Life is just by itself, and I think that's it. So it does get confusing when you're in different genres. So, you know, that's why on this show, as we know, I talk about a lot of different things because I have tried a lot of things. So within the next few weeks, you'll hear probably all the things that I've tried. Some have not been great, but I've been up till 3, 4 in the morning, but I can't stop trying these things because I really, every few minutes, you look at something and then something else pops up that's new. So we're all trying these things. So we'll probably get into that maybe a little later, but I would like to bring out Palissa and Alicia. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Yep. How is everybody?
Good? Doing well,
all right. Yeah. All right. We're all here, let's put it that way. Whatever we had to do to get here, we're here. Okay. Palissa, do you want to talk a little bit about yourself and just, you know, whatever you want people to know about yourself and your book title?
Okay, basically, I guess I classify myself as a storyteller, Boku. I do drama with romantic elements, however some people call it contemporary romance, fine.
We love those tag words that nobody can figure out what to do.
You know, as well as it works.
Yeah, it's very tough, very tough.
Yeah, so I actually my first book came out, Unchained Hearts. It's the first in the series. Came out in December, and book two will be out later next month, about, I think, April 21st.
That's great.
Is the date, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm trying to do promo for that. And while everybody, just an FYI, while everybody's going through the polar vortex, I wasn't. So I was kind of, you know, chilling, feeling sorry for my friends, but now it's starting to get really hot.
Oh. Where are you? Where?
Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica. Wait, is this Alicia? Or is this?
That's Palissa. Alicia's here in Louisiana.
Wait a minute. Alicia's in. Louisiana, and Palissa I got it now. All right. Okay.
However, I'm wishing I were in Jamaica right now. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
well, I'm in Chicago, so figure that out. We got a lot of everything. Okay. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just, you know, trying to get everything, like you said, trying to get everything going, and It's fun, but it's also a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, because it doesn't just happen, you know, and there really are a lot of sites and there are really a lot of ways to market. And I think what everybody's looking for is the answer, and there is none. That's what I decided. There is no answer. And I think sometimes you just have to do what you've done and keep writing, because I think that is possibly the universal thing that most people say to grow as an author. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, but all of this now that I've been doing for the last 3-4 years is very time-consuming, this marketing, very. And it's not a sure thing.
No, it's really not, but I find that if you're really, you know, you have to find what works for you, and then you have to constantly, persistently, consistently work it.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, don't expect to make E.L. James money.
Yeah.
It's not a bad goal. You know, J.K. Rowling money is a bad goal either.
Yeah. But. Listen, it is what it is. You know, I mean, that's the thing. All right, so, all right, Palissa, now you just want to say who you are and then...
Yes, go ahead. Sure.
Okay, and then we'll just all talk.
Yeah, good.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I know, it's confusing with two people whose names are so similar, Alicia and Felissa. Well, I said I'm in Louisiana, and I am definitely a romance writer. Even when I try to write horror stories, I end up with a huge romantic element in it, so I've given up on that dream. Everything that I write is just going to be romance.
But you know what, though? But there is romance in every book. So, I mean,
right,
most books.
Is.
You know, and that's the whole thing of it all. So, you know, I mean, there's very few books that don't have any elements of it in that are drama, mystery, or whatever. So that's what's confusing to people, because we're all put in a genre that doesn't always mix.
Right. Well, And mine are, I would say, primarily romance. There's a little bit of other things in there, but even, you know, everything that I write is some sort of romance. And right now I have one series with Boku that is a paranormal series set in Louisiana. It's a shifter series. And then the second series that I'm working on with them is contemporary hockey romance. So, because for some reason, being a Louisiana girl, I'm obsessed with hockey, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay.
I blame that on my husband, who's from New Jersey, so that would be
well, that could
influence.
Be then. Right, right.
That would be his influence.
Yeah.
So, and that's me.
All right. Okay. All right. I'll speak for Bethany. Bethany, you don't want to talk, but Bethany is an erotic romance writer, and she writes short stories, and she's right now writing a book. So she didn't feel like talking because it is difficult sometimes when you can't hear, the phone goes in and out. So, yes, and she's with Rebel Ink Press, and she's a really good author. Okay. All right. So, all right, let's talk about as long as you both seem to bring that up, you know, this is a problem, the tag words, the genre. I mean, it really is difficult. I mean, I go in and I change something, and I think that's really bad. This is what's happening to authors, where they don't know where to put themselves sometimes, because you don't know if you should be contemporary romance, and if it's not that erotic, then if you put yourself in erotic, you don't know if people will buy it or not.
Yeah, it really is tough. I mean, I don't know the difference between necessarily of course, BDSM, everybody kind of knows that.
Yes, that, right.
Yeah, that one's kind of, it's taken. But then you have, you know, the erotic romance versus the contemporary romance. Historical romance, fine, but it's that fine line, I'm sitting here going, okay, I don't know what I am.
Right. That's true, though. That is true. It's an identity. I'm not sure. That's why I said that. It's very difficult.
Well,
you know, and
it's
noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do think that's because of the keywords, and because they're, you know, I think on some of them now they just say erotica, they don't even say erotic romance, and I think it's really bad. I mean, they've changed that, because there were more categories, like, you know, and I think if you put yourself in erotica and you're not, you will either disappoint, you know, if you could disappoint your readers. And see, that's this is what's wrong out there, is that you don't want to disappoint your readers, but then you also want to stay where people will buy your book. But if you don't put those words in, then maybe the people that do read erotica won't read that. And I don't know. I mean, I keep saying this. Bethany, she's listening, I know, because I keep looking up erotica and erotic romance. And I swear, I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I go, okay, let's just see. Because they say, everybody that writes hopes they have a story. So when they say that one of them has more of a story and the other has more sex, I still don't get that, because everybody thinks they have a story, and they do.
Yeah.
So how do you know?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm finding difficult is trying to figure out, especially when we're dealing with series, because, you know, everyone wants a series now. And so book one in a series may be a lot hotter, with a lot more of those buzzwords, those erotica buzzwords, and then book two, maybe those characters are not that wild and crazy, you know?
Well, that is
so
my, that is, right,
that
is a big problem. That is a
right.
huge problem. And, you know, because I don't think I can get to the level that I need to be considered that erotic of a writer. But then, see, it's just about words, and that you're absolutely right. And because if you put the words, certain words in, that makes you in the erotica. But, or erotic. But if you don't put the words in, then why isn't it a romance then?
Right.
So that is difficult, and I think the readers, that's the problem for them. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that I, you know, I'm perennially confused with it, but one of the things that I guess Sable kind of, she told me, and it just stuck with me, is that really it's just about a good story. You know, I pretty much try to put something that I'd be interested in reading.
Right.
Yeah, you have sex because, you know, well, people do that.
Yeah, but the thing is that actually that is, you know, my show is called A Good Story is a Good Story. I believe that. However, when it comes to sales, get screwed up along the way because of the reader. We're all trying to please the reader, and we don't really know. We've been trying on the show forever to get readers on. I'd like to hear what they have to say. But readers don't want to come on. But I'd love to have them because I want to know what they think and how they pick a book out.
That would be interesting because I think we're writing something and we're hoping the reader likes it. But
yes.
At the same time, it's like, you know what, the reader can like different. I don't know if the reader feels like he or she's allowed to like different genres. Maybe that's the reason.
Right. Well, this is true. This is why I have all the shows. And, you know, I was just talking to someone. I just emailed somebody before that I would like to do a book tour with, and a book, a reveal. And she was asking, does she have enough to say she does a lot of genres, or is she like paranormal romance? And, you know, because I wanted to see about the children's, because see, this is the thing, and one of the reasons like Sable took children's is too because erotic writers, sexy writers, whatever, mystery writers, they all have kids, so why not? But
right.
and that's that thing, right? But it is it's really a mess for the reader because you just, as many shows as I've had about this, there is no right answer I think it's worse than it was because you could pick out words yourself before, and you know when you're on Amazon they had the list of words and you can add them right there, you know, and change them and things like that. But now they don't have it that way. You can't put the keywords in right. And I've noticed that keywords now are in phrases. So if they go in as a phrase, like if you're going to go, look, let's say a children's book, maybe children's bedtime stories, reading children, you know, more than one word, and that is the case. And this is a problem for sexy. I labeled mine as like their stories, sexy lunchtime stories, because that's what I think they are. You can read them in lunch, you know, they're like 30 pages.
Right.
And so that I said that, but I don't know that people are going to look at it that way.
That's a keyword marketing because that sounds like they're trying to go for the long tail key phrases.
But if it is short choice, well, what happened with my book is what could happen to anybody's. You know, what I decided, and Bethany Cross and myself, she wrote some short stories, and I said, I'm going to try. I've done scripts, and I've done books, and I've done a lot of stuff, but I never wrote a short story. So I wrote a short story for Virginia Templeton. And the character people liked. So I wrote another short story and another, and then I thought, oh, well, I'll put them in a book. And they do not blend. They are three separate stories. So a lot of people cannot get that. And they say three stories. And when they're three stories, they're three stories. And you can't blend something that doesn't fit together. It just doesn't. It's just, you know, it's trying to do something that's impossible. And people do like short stories. So I don't know the answer to that because I wrote mine, and it's not real in novellas, and I'm just saying it's three stories. It's very confusing for the reader. So all of this that we're talking about now, this is what the reader has to face out there, plus millions and millions of books.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's why, I mean, one of the things that I really like, and excuse the barking dog, she tends to do that.
That's okay.
Periodically. One of the things I find is that when the readers get to know the authors a little bit, then they're you know, right now the shift is getting to know the author, and then you can get the story.
I think you're right.
I think it becomes more of a social instead of, because like you said, there are a million books. There may not necessarily be a million authors, but if you get to know the author, you understand a little more about the author. You know, you're willing to say, okay, this person is, you know, I may not be necessarily into writing or reading paranormal, but this is actually a pretty good story, and I like the author. So it's kind of
pushing. That's what I was going to say.
To
we
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because, you know, it is about building that relationship now, and I am more willing to take a chance. I'm a book snob. I still buy based on the cover, and then I'm like, wait a minute. But I'm very hard to please. And whenever I find a writer that I like, maybe the writer is even writing something that I don't normally read, like sci-fi romance or something, and I'll say, okay, I really like this writer. I'm going to take a chance. And before you know it, I've devoured four or five sci-fi romances that I never would have read because I do trust that writer, and I know that even though, say, the sensuality level is going to be different and there are going to be some different things, I'm not going to be disappointed because I know I'm getting a solid book no matter what the genre is.
I don't know the answer either. I mean, I really do think that is a problem for people. So I guess, you know, I think that we have to try. That's why we do the shows a lot and we talk about this. But it is, and it comes down to sometimes just the words you use of what really it is. And that's the thing. And, you know, I was surprised, but of the people that have, you know, come up to me and liked my book and never said one word about any of the words I use. So I have to get over myself, and I am now, you know, as far as getting over myself. And they don't even bring it up at all. They like the character. They want to know more about Virginia. So they don't mention any of the words. So I guess, and they didn't read the book because of that. They just read the book. And see, I think that we're all writers and thinking about all these things, but I'm not sure that the reader really thinks about all of these things. They don't know, you know, they just want to enjoy the story.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I think Amazon is really trying to, they're trying to lead with the books, and I think based on what I'm seeing and from what I'm hearing and what Alicia sees, that people are going more for the authors. So
there seems
to be a disconnect between how, you know, like you said, the readers and how we are seeing things and how Amazon is doing things. So they're looking at it, I think, from a more of a marketing.
Well, Amazon is changing things. Amazon, I got like several messages now that Amazon is taking off certain reviews. I mean, they did that before, but now I've gotten a lot of messages about that, and they're looking for people. I mean, I don't know. I mean, because some people do give people books to read, but that's what you do with a reviewer.
Right.
So, I mean, that was as old as from forever, before they even had the internet. What people did is you send a book to somebody. It's just how else can they read it?
Well, and that's
so
another
they,
thing.
You know, it is a gift. It is a gift. Well, what is it then? I mean, you know, they're not paying for it.
Well, I think Amazon is seeing, and I just can't even comprehend this because Amazon is such a money-making machine. You know, so we're losing out on money because I send you one of my books to review and I give you the book for free, but then you put a review on Amazon. It's just kind of an endless cycle of, you know, we're trying to promote a product.
But reviewers, I'm not talking about your friends and everything. Reviewers, they don't pay for books.
No,
so
they don't.
That is not happening.
Right, right.
You know, they don't.
And I know, you know, just like I trust different authors, you know, Sable is one of those prime examples. Whenever she says, this is a good author, you're going to enjoy this book, I know this is a good author, I'm going to enjoy this book.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's picky about what she publishes with Boku. And, you know, I know that she's got some solid writers, not just because I'm working for her, but because
right.
I know the writers are very solid. And when she says, hey, I've got this new writer, welcome them to the family, I'm thinking I'm adding this to my to-be-read list.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think Amazon is, you know, because Jeff Bezos has got money to burn, I'm pretty sure. But
right.
Amazon seems to be trying to focus on, I think they're going for, you know, the customers who actually paid for the book are the only ones who now can be reviewed. Everybody else is kind of ignored. I find a problem that based on what, you know, what you guys just said. But
yeah, I don't know the answer, but I mean, you know, I know this is just my opinion though. I've been on Smashwords and I've been on other things and, you know, I do sell, but nothing. Amazon is still Amazon. I mean, everybody knows who Amazon is, but there's a lot of people that unfortunately they don't know what Smashwords is. And I tried when I send out books before, they didn't even know what it is. So you can't send a code for Smashwords and then they don't know what to do with it. even.
Yeah, no, but I think what their perception is that somebody who has not paid for the book cannot possibly offer an honest review.
But that's changing how it always was before, because when you used to be able, you send people the books, and what the worst part was years ago is that they didn't tell you if they were going to review your book or not, and because they didn't do it on the internet. So if they were going to review your book, they'd go like, well, we may review it, but we're not going to tell you when that will be. And
well,
you sent them a book.
How is that a more honest system than, for example, with Romantic Times magazine? We pay for those reviews. I mean, it's not like I'm just giving
what,
you
what
a
was it, Romantic
book.
Times? I don't even know what that, what's
right.
Romantic Times?
It's,
Romantic Times?
It's a monthly magazine, a print magazine that's been in business for a long time. But the way,
because I get from the, you know, I'm from the in the writer, you know, the
right.
Romance Writers Association, that I get, and those are really helpful. I really like that. It was worth joining to really get the articles. And this is Romantic Times?
Right. They're a really big deal. They've been around, I want to say probably 15 or so years, probably longer than that. But they have a big conference every year. But one of the things that you do with them is you send in your book for review, and to be able to be up for review, you also have to purchase ad space in the magazine. So you're not paying for the review, you're paying for the ad space, but you can't get
and
the
what price range are they at?
Thousands.
What?
They're very.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. It's a beautiful magazine. Wonderfully done. I'll look at it. But, it's very expensive. Probably about $6,000 for a cover spot, for front or back cover. And, you know, that's one of the little tiny pictures. But it's still, it's great marketing, but you're essentially paying for a review there. So.
That's where it all goes wrong. This is it. This is why it, and the other thing is, you can't rely on everybody that's reviewing a book out there, because there are people that just write reviews to be mean to people, what I've seen, actually I saw something yesterday on, and I always comment on this type of thing because I always message the person. There was somebody that was on, and they were talking about that they had gotten over cancer, and they had chemo, and they're feeling good, and life is fine for them. And then they're so tired of people on Facebook and whatever bickering and fighting with each other, and why isn't everybody getting along? And it's like, so I had to go back in and say to her, I agree with you on this, because it really, in the spectrum of things, it's not about anything, and they're fighting. and it's getting worse and worse because I'm seeing people and they're just so nasty to each other, and I'm thinking, like, why? I mean, then, it's not, you don't even know these people.
Yeah, you have the anonymity of being behind a computer screen, not meeting the person.
I know.
Face, you're figuring that you're bold enough to say, do you feel anything, and just express it. And you know what? It's just, unfortunately, the other side of technology as we know it now.
I know. I've seen
stuff like that, and I'm amazed that somebody would actually think about being like that. You kind of wonder, are you like that in real life? Please tell me you're not, because I have a huge question mark about humanity right now.
Yeah, I think that people really, I do think that it's becoming, really so insane out there, and it's like everybody is sharing, well, all day long we're doing this. And so, and if you don't, then people think there's something wrong with you for not doing it. But if you try to write, you can't be doing this all day long. And you can't be sharing and liking and posting, because no matter who you are, no matter what it is, it takes time.
It does.
A lot of time.
I have to sit there and plan, because, I'm looking at my schedule for the week, and, credit to both of you, because we have a promotion team, and hope Debbie gets better. Hi, Debbie.
Yeah, she's out today. Yeah, she's doing things. She's great. I know. She's really great.
So, it's like, they're doing their thing, and then on top of that, because the landscape has changed so much, I have to do something else myself, because really, you have to do something else. It doesn't quite end in the last year.
Well, I think we're right. That's the thing. I've done book reveals and things like that for, well, we do some of them, and we also do, you know, we're trying to promote people also in different ways, but launch parties and things like that. But one of the things that I've done, which is with Lady Amber, and I've mentioned her several times because she really, she's not expensive, and she does a good job, and she has a lot of bloggers, and you reveal your cover, and you meet a lot of new people. And it's nice, and that's good, you know, and so she's really good. So those, something like that is really good. But then when you come across things that are so expensive, I just tell people, because, you know, there is no guarantee. So if just because you do whatever, go on someone's blog or do it, you're not going to sell books. Even when you're on a radio show, it doesn't sell books. It just gets your name out there. And especially, like, when you come on, like, World of Ink, because we have, like, over 400 shows, our things go right on top on Google. But that doesn't mean you're going to sell 50 books that day. And that's the problem. People are so concerned that they're going to do – they just have to build up their brand. It takes a long time. And even if you build up a brand, does not mean – you're selling a lot of books. They're just knowing you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it takes time.
If that is actually true. I mean, I have, like, right now I have a little jigsaw. Apparently Isabel Kate decided to introduce jigsaw, and I'm, like, totally nuts about it now. So I have this little, I'm totally addicted to it, so I have this little, you know, contest going on where I'll give away, like, an autographed copy of a Kindle version of the book, and for the fastest jigsaw solver. So it's just like, you have to do fun things like that.
She was on the show a few weeks ago. She was on my show, I know.
Isabel and I have, like, these
oh, she's great. You know, but, you know, and look at, these are things that, but, you know, on the other, you know, the thing is that, you know, we're all supposed to be writing. So when we are doing these things, it does take up time.
Good.
You know, and I think, you know, the social networking, I do think, you know, I really do love Pinterest. I put stuff on there. I know I have to really concentrate on it more. I've been doing it for a long time, and I've listened to Melanie Duncan. I've mentioned that only because I know that Barb, I think, told people to, and she's great. Melanie Duncan really does help you learn how to do Pinterest. And Pinterest can really be good, you know, for books.
Yeah.
If you place it the right way.
Oh yeah. I'm loving it. I've been on Pinterest since the beginning, before, you know, when you got invited. Now it's like open.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been
I just created a business account there, and I'm putting up, like, teasers and everything.
Yeah, because that's what I just listened to her last seminar, and she is really good, and she's and it really can help people, and it really is a very, you know, I haven't done it, that's why you could say it's very relaxing, and I haven't been in the relaxing mood because I'm trying to get things done, but the things are beautiful on there. They really are. They're beautiful photos, and it's fun to look at. It really is. It's fun. And it's relaxing, but it is good PR. You know, the thing about Twitter, if you're on Twitter, though, see, Twitter is the kind of thing where I had some people on my show who were talking about this, and people like to tweet, but I'm not sure that they read everybody's tweet. They tweet, but they don't read what you write, maybe, because, you know, and you can't always retweet something because you have to kind of look and see what you're retweeting. What if it's something bad?
Yeah, no, I think, Alicia, you're on Twitter. I've been on Twitter. I can't even tell you how many accounts I have on Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
I have, like, 5 accounts on it, but it's just, you have to work it where you have to actually keep repeating the tweet at certain times, because it's like you have to touch certain periods of the day. You have to be tweeting.
Right, I know. That's what they say.
Throughout the day, and it's a little bit of time consuming, but you have to have special software to do that. I have special software that actually helps me accomplish that, where I'm tweeting at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm fast asleep.
I'm up to, you know, and there's this other thing now called Symphony. And Symphony, I signed up for it, but see, I sign up for everything, and then when I go in, I don't even use it, and then when I go in, I already tried to sign up again, and they go, you're already here, you know, and it's like, because I just sign up for a lot of stuff, and then, you know, but I'm watching what I'm trying to get, the best things I can. I do think, you know, and I do pay Marnie McNiff. She works with World of Ink, and I have paid her to do my tweets because otherwise I don't do them. Like, and she's really great at it. And people, she has a program that she does, and she does it for everybody because I think that, you know, what you were saying before, you do have, even if you're, I don't care what publisher you're with, they cannot do everything. So you have to do other things. So, and having somebody do social media sometimes is, you know, but I like to do Facebook myself and do those things, but it takes up a lot of time. And that is why I'm up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock also, and this is not good.
No, it's not very good for your health.
No, I don't think it is, really. I've been doing this for years, but I don't think it is actually either because, you know, and I do think there is a happy medium. I just haven't found it yet. And I'm always, I hear myself telling my friends, I'm just organizing. And I am a really organized person, but you can't get organized with marketing. You try to, and then something else happens.
Maybe that's why I'm not so stressed over marketing, because I'm not very organized, so I just sort of go with the flow.
Well, maybe that's true, though. Maybe that's true. You're right. Maybe that's I never thought about it that way, because maybe that's true, because I am organized, and
hey,
this drives
you need
me nuts.
To do this.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, because I try to organize this, naturally, because I do the shows, and I want to help people, so I try to do it where I'm, you know, telling people what to do and what I, because I've done things that I think are not that great, so I say it, you know, and I do, because I try things, and I do a lot of it because of the show, too, to see how, what works and what doesn't work. And so far, I mean, there's not that many things that work. The one thing I can come up with is to keep writing, and because I have heard people, Fran Lewis has a lot of people on her show. She's a great reviewer, and she has a lot of New York Best Time sellers, and they're great because they even say that they will go to a book signing or whatever, and there may not be a lot of people there. But they still go, and they just have a good time and try to talk to who's ever there, and I learn a lot from them, you know, and things like that. And they have PR people, and they write, and there was one guy on, and he was talking about that after his sixth book, he finally found the niche that he needs to be in for himself, and then it went gangbusters. But it took him six books. So it doesn't always happen.
Right.
You know, and I do think if you have a PR person, and some of them are very expensive, and but if you keep writing, that is the answer. So you do have to do marketing, which we all do, but we also have to keep writing. And I find myself saying, tomorrow I'm going to not do marketing, and then tomorrow comes and then I do. So that's a bad thing. So I think that's one of the things, you know, if you really want to write, you have to keep writing.
Right, and that's the advice that everyone will give you. You know, there are two pieces of advice for being a writer. First of all, write, and second of all, read.
Yeah.
You have to keep reading, you have to keep writing, and that's the key. So.
Well, right, and it's impossible to do all of these things. And if if people can do it, that's great for them. And, you know, but I'm still thinking about what you said about the organized part. See, that's probably right. That's probably why, because I try to organize something that can't be organized. Because it can't. Cause I do have a lot of pages. I have pages, blogs, whatever, and I go, I can't take that blog away, and I can't take this blog away, and I can't take this page away. But I'm sure that I don't need them. Well, I'm positive
I'm
gonna
I don't. I'm going to be the lone dissenting voice and say, yes, you can be organized with it. Because, well, I have a little bit of, I guess, marketing background. You can be organized, but you just have to find, again, you have to figure out what it is, which social media is working for you, and you really have to just keep working on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And you need software to do it.
Right. I've heard that, too, that, you know, you don't have to do everything. Find the ones that work for you.
Right, that is true.
With and stick with those.
That's probably true, but they're – right. I agree with that. That is true. But, you know, when there's somebody like myself who has different genres, this is impossible to do.
Right.
This is really hard, right? And, you know, but I did it. You know, this is what it is, and that's how I write. And my screens are completely different. And so it is different. But you're right. That is, you know, you can't organize if you don't probably do as much as I do. And I try, and then I do the shows. So I, you know, something, you know, and I like the shows because for me, the shows, I've learned a ton of things.
I was going to say, stop doing the shows. The shows
no, I'm not.
Great.
Thank
I love
you. Thank you. No, I do like the shows because the shows are fun. And you know, now I really do learn a lot on the shows. And I keep, you know, telling people that, you know, some of the shows, a lot of times people don't listen to certain shows that are really good, you know, of other people. And I'm thinking, like, really listen to those shows, and because it helps. I take notes. Now, all the shows, nobody's mentioned Romantic Times. They never did. So I write, there's always something, no matter how many shows I do, that I find that I didn't know. So I think you have to be open to realize you don't know everything. But some people think they do, you know, and someone like Fran Lewis, her shows, when I hear these people, she does a one-on-one, and it's really good because that's what she does. She's a reviewer, but she goes in with questions. You know, and it's good in that way for the author. So every show is different, but when you hear some of these authors, how they've started and how they've kept going, it's because they keep writing. Not one of them ever says they stop writing to do marketing.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. No, I will say this. I am working kind of on book three. Book two is not out yet, and book one is there.
Yeah, I'm always writing something. I am working on something. But, all right, so then, all right, might as well. Pelissa, you wanted to read, I didn't forget. So you can read. Yeah, I never forget.
Okay.
That's the one thing. All right, do you want to tell everybody what you're going to read?
Sure. I'll read, I'm going to read, I guess, a piece of Unchained Hearts, which is my first novel, which I remember.
Okay.
Okay. It's set up as basically. I'm going to read some little piece because I wasn't sure. I think, Alicia, do you have anything to read? Or
no, I'm not going to read tonight.
No, I probably won't read either, and I know Bethany's not reading, so you can read your whole book.
We'll just sit here
and listen to it. No, you know, go ahead.
Okay,
if the show has to go off, we'll just turn on and keep reading.
Okay, so yeah, no, I pulled that little part because I've been reading a lot about, you know, Kyle and everybody, but I decided to kind of focus on Soraya for the past couple of weeks. She's one of the bad girls in the story. I mean, really bad. So the scene I'm picking up is where she finally got the boot from Brandon, and she's outside the door. Okay, Soraya stood outside Kyle's door fighting back tears. "Are you all right, miss?" a male voice asked from behind. Keeping her back to the stranger, she fumbled for a handkerchief and patted her face. With a sniffle, she closed her eyes and faced him with the most dignified smile she could muster. "What can I tell you? Breakups aren't fun." "Don't I know it. I was seeing this girl and she just dumped me for a guy she met at work." "Isn't that just positively awful?" Soraya sympathized. "What's even worse is I still see her every day," she said, and pointed to Kyle's door. "You were dating her?" He nodded. "We had a real connection, but then she met some guy she tutored, and that was that." Soraya sniffed away at the last of her tears and looked at Kyle's door. She knew that bitch had designs on her man. From the first day she laid eyes on her, she had her number. Now Randy was free, and she had the perfect opportunity to pounce like hell. Soraya looked at her new friend and stuck out her hand. "Soraya. Brian. Well, Brian, as they say, misery loves company. Let's chat." His hoes and hums were her cue as she went closer up to him. "I can be a good listener." She gently threaded her arm around his and overly swayed her hips so she brushed against his. She could tell he got the clue, and as he led her to his door, he opened it and she stepped through, pulling him inside. If there was one thing she knew, it was that she was going to make Brian sing.
Very interesting.
What happened to the rest of the story? We're not here the whole story.
No, I'm gonna go for like you have to buy the
book. Okay. All right.
Soraya is like I guess there are two love stories in one book. So there's the bad girl or the bad person for one story that is still there in the towards the end somewhat. And then you have this one who's more the contemporary bad girl, and she does some bad things, a few bad things.
Well, sometimes people do bad things. I mean, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, actually those are characters that people like.
Yeah, Yeah,
they
I kind of liked her, but then I realized I didn't like her that much.
Yeah, well. Does she do very bad things, really bad things? Does she ever do anything good?
No. This girl, yeah. The way I describe her is that, you know, she had designs on this person, and she's not someone who's used to rejection. She does not. She's kind of that person who calls a shot in any relationship. She'll do whatever she needs to do, and she gets bored with a guy, she'll dump him. But the problem is that she met a guy that kind of beat her to the punch because he's loving somebody. He, you know, is falling in love with somebody else. She's like...
Well, that's like in the soap opera. I watch a soap opera that there's one very, very strong woman, and she's had every guy probably on the show since it started. But the fact that somebody doesn't want her is that she wants, she can't handle this now.
Yep.
And, you know, she never realized how it hurt other people, but now because it's happening to her. You know,
you find
and,
it's harder to write a redemption story with a woman in it than with a man, like giving her, you know, her comeuppance or whatever.
Well, I think I might have used to do that, but now I have a Virginia Templeton is really strong and she puts men right in their place. They have no place. So she's the boss, you know, and she's right. But she's smart. She's also smart. She's beautiful. She's all of those things. But she does have what it takes. And, you know, she does have she has sincerity inside of her because, as we all know, that's what happens to people when they have their childhood isn't what should be. But she is tough. And I think that writing tough women wasn't the way it used to be. But I do think now that women want to see women that are powerful.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a good thing for women to, you know, in some way, you know, not to make them overpowering everybody, but to be powerful and strong, because I think years ago women weren't, you know, they didn't show that as much. And even in my script writing, I used to write as a man because I thought, oh, my God, I can't talk like this because it was very hard for me, and it still is on certain levels. But because of my Virginia character, she can do it. I made her up years ago on one of my screenplays and always used her in my head as a person that can do anything and say anything. So there are women like that, though, and they are strong.
Yeah. One of the greatest books I've ever read was Barbara Taylor Bradford's A Woman of Substance. I love that
book. Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah. That was when I was intelligent and read. Now I just do this. When I went into script writing, I totally went to the other side.
Well, I think script writing is great. I read her, I think, when I was first 16, and, you know, when you're reading that kind of a powerful female character, it really impacts you at that age. And then I read her when I was older, and you take different things at different times from a book like that.
No, that is true.
You know,
And Amy, if you watch any of these old movies, the AMC or any of these movies, there are a lot of women screenwriters in those days.
Right.
A lot more than you'd think, you know, and they were strong. And the women usually got their way in a lot of these movies. They were small, simple movies, but look at Joan Crawford. Now, she's like an idol. I mean, she's like, when I watch her movie, I'm going like, oh, my God, you know. And because she just stood up for what she believed in.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that?
I think we're in that whole feminism has finally made it to social media and is changing everything in general. Because it's really, I think, I didn't watch the Oscars, but I guess Kate Blanchett made the point saying, guess what?
Yeah.
About women actually make money.
Yep. because there was this hugest thing years ago that you couldn't have a female lead, okay? Because the female lead, I mean, they could be a duo or a romantic comedy or a team, but for a woman to hold a movie was almost impossible. And the male, because that was how they got the movies made, they had a strong male in the movie, and then they could get everybody around them once they got the male to do the part. But then there came some that, you know, like Kate Blanchett, who does strong women, you know, and like even, She did Mildred Pierce, which was a Joan Crawford movie. Oh my God, I'm trying to think for now. Anyway, she did Resurrection. She had Resurrection Road or something, or she did every. She did Titanic. I'm just trying to. I'm losing. Let's see.
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet, and she did the movie of Mildred Pierce. And, you know, this is a woman that was such a strong woman. And, you know, and I had seen interviews about it, like, because it was on, they did it a couple, I think last year or the year before. And it was well received, but nothing like it was years ago. You know, but she was great in it. And, you know.
Go for the whole big movies, like, you know, Transformers 3. And I mean, I love Transformers. I will watch 3, 4, 5. I will watch Optimus Prime till the cows come home.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are these other movies out there that are being eclipsed because, well, you know, Hollywood needs to have these big blow-up movies that just have the guys going, ooh-wah. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. But you have, like, someone like Sandra Bullock who's done very well. You know, she has pushed the mark. But she also produces. So that's the thing. She's a producer, and she's strong.
I love her. She's great. She's always been great. My dad loves her as well.
She's very strong, you know, as a woman out there, you know. And, Kate Blanchett, a lot of these people, you know, and, like, even in the movie Judi Dench did, you know, and, I mean, these are, like, Judi Dench, a lot of these older women that are doing these movies are doing a great job.
Yeah.
And they have changed. They have changed some of the way people think. Because now, rather than having no movies with women of that age, now there are a lot of movies with women. And Meryl Streep, I mean, these are people that have really set the bar, and it's a good thing.
Helen Mirren in Red.
Oh my God, yes.
Right,
they're great.
Right.
It was awesome.
they're great. And so I think that writing strong, you know, girls are okay. I was thinking, like, Bode Kuh is taking my No Clues, No Shoes. Her name is Emelina, and she's a strong young girl. She's little, you know, but she rules the whole book. And it's like she's standing up for what she feels like, and she's a strong little girl. And I think that's a good thing for girls to know that, you know, it's a mystery, but, you know, she's just, you can see she's the one that's outstanding in this. And that's not a bad thing because girls feel that they can make decisions.
Right, right.
I think that's a good thing for girls to do. You know, and that's one of the things. Teenagers have a very hard time now, more than, you know, ever before. It's very tough. But they have some role models that are not great either. So that's the other thing.
Yeah,
you know, to what?
I'm done with that whole twerking thing. I've seen it. And it's just not that
great. Well, I think one of the things is I think just all of the younger actresses and actors, they make so much money that it's unbelievable. It's, you know, they could never have thought that people would make this much money. You know, and the writer doesn't make the money. Let's say if they're in a movie, the writer doesn't make the money. The stars do. And the production, you know, everybody but the writer. They need the writer.
Right.
You know, but writing strong, good characters are, you know, I mean, it's good. And so to write a strong woman, there's nothing wrong with, you know, a powerful woman. I think that's good. And I think that more people should write that way, but it depends on the character. Some characters just aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and...
I'm looking forward to just expressing a little bit more, because, I mean, the next book is... You know, revolving around the other male in the family, but he's also dealing with a couple. One of them, one of the women that he's with, she's basically a cop. She can kick his butt.
Right.
It's one of those things where I'm always looking to write stronger women because I don't see me being a reader wanting to read about some woman who's just like, I don't even know if there's a word for that.
Well, you know, not right. Some woman that is, you know, not that strong, and there are a lot of women out there, and so that women should write strong things that other women can see. You know, like there was a show called Texas Ranger on.
Yeah,
it's great. They took it. I think they took it off now. This woman was just tough. She was a ranger woman, and she was great. Just when she walked in a room, you knew she was there. But then now they're taking that off. They didn't even give that. You know, it's just that they didn't give it a shot.
Well, I think it's kind of hard still to write a woman who is strong and not have her coming off as being a bitch all the time.
I know that. Yes,
you know, it's really
hard. Well, that is that. No, that's the other part.
She still has to be approachable, you know. So even she can be tough as nails, but she still has to be approachable, and she still has to have that sympathetic bit that we can aspire to be like her because we can see part of ourselves in her. So for me, it's kind of a difficult thing to write a strong woman and have her come off as not being too bitchy.
Well, that's because that's what everybody says. That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. But as soon as you get, like Jane Fonda, when she comes out and does interviews now, she's strong. But she had to fight her way. And, yeah, she just sits down, and the younger women look at her like, oh, my God, look at her. I mean, you know, and so that's a good thing, you know. But she had a very hard time years ago. But, you know,
she had a hard time
remained.
For reasons that have nothing to do with movies, from what I understand.
Which one?
The whole Hanoi Jane thing.
Right.
That was from, I was like, wow. People kind of vilified her because of that.
Right.
I just think, you know, look, I think, so here we are, we're very strong women right now, talking. Talking.
Yeah.
All right, before, you know, right, and the show's almost over, but I want everybody to give their, you know, where they can be found. You could find me and Bethany and all of us at www.michiganavenuemedia or www.worldofinknetwork.com. And Bethany's there, I'm there. And we have Authors Talk Romance blogspot.com. And we put a lot of stuff on our blog. So, you know, if anybody has something, you can send it to us and we'll put it on, especially strong women and, you know, and things. I'll be happy to put, you know, things on posting for that because I think it's good, you know, to have that. And, all right, go ahead, Alicia.
Okay, I'm at Alicia Sparks.
Alicia.
I am on Amazon. My most recent books are Primitive Fix and Primitive Need. They're both paranormal romances. And then I have Penalty Kill, which has nothing to do with killing and everything to do with hockey. So
okay.
Those are on Amazon.
Well, people say that they killed the game, right?
The game.
Right. Hey, I'm from Chicago. This
right.
is it.
Blackhawks.
Right. I can say that. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Melissa, go ahead.
Okay, I know about cricket. I'm just learning about cricket, so I know nothing about
cricket.
What
did you say? Cricket? I don't know about cricket. What you said? Cricket?
Yep.
I don't know how to do that.
It's growing on me. It's growing on me.
Okay.
So I guess I'm on. One of my best places to contact me is on Facebook. Author Palessa is my Facebook page. And from there, I have everything on there.
Okay, so I'm going to go look. I'm going to look exactly at everything of yours because I want to see how many you have that I have, you know, because I was looking before. But see, you have it under author. Yeah. See, sometimes that's the right one of the things you have to do.
I'm Author Palessa on Goodreads. I'm Author Palessa on Pinterest. I'm Author Palessa somewhere. Oh, yeah, I'm Author Palessa on Twitter. So usually when you see Author Palessa, that's me. That's my brand.
That's easy.
Yeah.
One name.
Yeah. It's simple. And, you know, I'm also, like I said, if you go on my page, you see my little, I'm giving away a personalized version of my first book, Unchained Hearts. And the second one will be out April 21st, cross my fingers, which should be out by then. And if you're interested in sneak peeks, you have to sign up for my mailing list because I will be sending out the first one this Sunday at noon Eastern Time.
You have a mail? What, you do a newsletter?
No, I don't. That was one of the things I was like, no, I cannot do a newsletter.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's just basically, you know, like sneak peeks for stuff.
I'll do
the mailing list first and, you know, decide if I want to share it with everybody else. The mailing list is like my first
yes,
line.
I have a mailing list that I just put together, and there's so many people on it because I all the time that I've done like for being an agent, and I don't know, I haven't sent it out yet because I'm probably gonna either I'm gonna get kicked off of AOL or Facebook or whatever because I got all these names, you know, for over the years, 12, 15 years of doing this, you know, and I have everybody's, you know, a lot of people have not business, but you know,
oh,
I wish
no,
some of them would have.
I think it's a great way to market, and I would love to build mine up, you know, but it takes time to build up a really good list.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things where if you have a good list and you're on a good, you're in a good relationship with the readers, then it makes things a little bit easier.
I do think that is important. It's really good to do that. And it does get harder and harder because I think I see what I see out there is everybody is not sharing like they did before. So that's the other thing.
Right.
You know, so that's, you know, I mean, right. I think maybe you're right. If you make a special time of the day and do it, and that's it, you just go through everything and see what's going on.
Yeah.
I've kind of been doing that at night and doing that, trying to go on everything and see what I missed. You know,
yeah,
which, you know.
You just have to really keep up with it, and it's hard, but it's necessary now because of everything.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
And,
oh, it's very necessary.
Yeah.
You know, but they, yeah.
Publishers are great, but you know, publishers, I'm not the only one the publisher has to work with, so I have to.
Oh, no, you have to. I think an author has to work. I mean, I really do. You have to. You cannot expect a publisher to do everything now. It's too. It's not like it was before. There's a lot of stuff to do. So I think that, you know, you have to help because being with a publisher helps. So then if both of you are marketing, this is good.
Yeah.
It's like double marketing. And it works good.
It shows,
yeah.
You know, you have to, like, people to see you enough times for them to trust themselves, say, okay, I think I might want to check this person out.
Right.
So it does require a little bit more of that, you know, showing up in front of people, getting your book cut in front of people, getting your name in front of people, just a little bit more.
Right. It is true. It is true. And, you know, you can't, you know, it's not necessarily, it's just about your writing, and it should get better and better and stop, you know, all of this marketing. No, it doesn't make you better and better. You just have to write. That makes you better and better, hopefully.
Yeah, no, believe me. I think the second book, I don't know about, at least, but the second book felt better, and I'm hoping the third one is as well. I won't go beyond that because I might get in trouble.
All right, thank you so much for coming on, and, you know, just keep in touch with me, and whatever, you know, if you have something you want to promote, let me know. You'll come on the show and, you know, send me things. If you send me things to put out for you, I will, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Just
okay,
so I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do it. So, all right, thank you, everybody. Bethany, thank you so much.
You.
I'm glad you're back, Bethany. I'm going to get you to talk one of these days. I'm going to make you. Okay, all right, thank you for being here, and I'll see you soon. Have a good night. Bye.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.